tonight we want to go back to that subject, so let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, and we want to read that one verse, our text verse, which introduces angels, and that's the reason that I selected it. In Hebrews 1 and verse 7, "And of the angels he, the Lord, saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." So we find this introduces angels as spirits. And this morning we looked at a couple of aspects concerning the business of angels, and we started out by considering the fact that they had different ways of communicating with us, and the way they showed themselves or appeared to us or manifested their message to us. And we pointed out the fact that when angels appear, they sometimes do so in dreams, they sometimes do so in visions, they sometimes do so as some form of fire. Sometimes and very frequently, when angels appeared to people in the Bible, they appeared looking like men. So we looked at that, and we finished up this morning by looking at the fact that angels were instrumental and had a responsibility for setting in order the law at Sinai. They were there. They participated with God as His servants to hand the law, if you will, to Moses. And that, I believe, is an important thing, simply because we see here that in every aspect of God's covenant dealings with mankind, there's a participation of angels in those things. And it starts, at least it started in our study or our message this morning, with their work in regard to setting the law in order at Mount Sinai. Now, we know, and this is something I didn't mention this morning and really isn't part of my outline, but we know that from the very beginning, God used angels in His interactions with man, because you'll remember that after Adam and Eve sinned and were cast out of the garden, that God put cherubim, angels, if you will, to guard the way into the entrance of the Garden of Eden, and they turned this way and that, and protected, kept back man from entering back into the garden. And so angels have always been in the workings of God among men. Now, tonight we want to look at the fact, as we move on in the thoughts that are before us, the fact that angels are agents of God's destruction and punishment on earth in some instances. Now, there are natural things that occur in the world that you can't really lay your finger on an angel being an agent in it. I mean, when tornadoes come, when hurricanes blow, when floods overflow the land, when things of that nature happen, you can't lay your finger on an angel and say that's God that who has assigned an angel some work of destruction. But there are some biblical instances where God makes us to know that it was the action of an angel that worked destruction among men. The first one we want to look at, And like I told you this morning, we didn't cover everything in the Bible about angel activity, but we, in order to save time, we just selected some prime truths out of the Bible for each one of these ideas. But the first one we want to look at is involves Hezekiah and the children or the citizens of Judah, and we find that the king of Assyria has conquered all the surrounding nations around Judah. And he sends his general, and the general comes with his army to Jerusalem with the intent of overthrowing Jerusalem and the land of Judah. And that general brags about what that the king of Assyria has done to other nations, and what they're going to do to Jerusalem, boasting about how they're going to lay waste to it and take everybody captive and kill those who won't submit. And Hezekiah, the king of Judah, takes this before the Lord and lays the problem before him of the sudden appearance of the Assyrian army and their intent to destroy Jerusalem. And when he does that, we find that God simply tells Hezekiah that it's not going to happen. That regardless of the fact that the entire surrounding plain and all the area around Jerusalem is a solid mass of the Assyrian army like a bunch of grasshoppers, that it isn't going to happen, that he's not going to allow it to happen. And so, in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 35, we read something here that fits our subject tonight. The Bible there says it came to pass that night, that after Hezekiah brought this problem before God, that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. All of that 185,000 people were nothing more than corpses the next morning from the hand of the angel that went out into the camp. So here we find an angel actively involved in mass destruction, if you will. And God uses angels that way. And He's going to use them again, by the way. Now we find in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 15, the Bible tells us that God sent an angel into Jerusalem to destroy it after David had numbered Israel and was warned not to. He numbered Israel, and God came to him through Gad, the prophet, and said, "Okay, you've disobeyed God. Now what are you going to have for Jerusalem? What are you going to have for your people as a result of this? Do you want to be taken down by your enemies? Do you want to be destroyed this way or that? Or do you want God to visit you and destroy by way of an angel?" And David lifted up his eyes. It says in that verse, by the way, brethren, is 1 Chronicles 21 and 16. David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. So God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem, and as a result of David's disobedience. And so here again, there's an angel that is destroying. Now it turns out that as the angel was destroying, God repented himself and called the angel back after several thousand people were killed. But here again, there's activity of an angel in the act of destroying. And I want you to notice that in those two instances, you see two things. You see God sending an angel to destroy some heathen, and you see God sending an angel to destroy some of His chosen people. Now, I'm not going to try to interpret what that means, brethren, but it ought to sober us to the fact that angels may be participant in the death of God's own people as well as the heathen. And so we realize angels have this awesome and fearsome task sometimes handed to them from God. Now, in the New Testament, we're going to use one example where angels do the same kind of activity, namely destroying or punishing. And if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 12 and verse 23, you find that old Herod is bragging up a storm about what a great person that he is, and all of his fawners around him are saying, "Oh, you're a god. I've never known anything like you before in my life. I felt a quiver run up my leg, old Herod, when I saw you and listened to you speak." And when this happened, the Bible says there in the book of Acts, and verse 12 and verse 20, chapter 12 and verse 23. Immediately when that happened, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Here, an angel of the Lord himself is identified as tending to a man who set himself up to be God and took the praise of those who fawned around him as though he was God. So this is the thing that we know angels sometimes do. They are involved in destruction or punishment on earth in some instances. Now in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 15, we find that there's an awful prophecy made to John from the angel that was sent by Jesus Christ to give him the message. And in Revelation 9 and verse 15, The Bible says that there are four angels that are in laying in wait, lying, if you will, in stasis almost, as it were. They are prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year, and they are loosed in Revelation 9:15 in order, as this verse says, to slay the third part of men. So we've got yet another large-scale destructive activity by four angels that God holds in reserve for that day. Now, you might say, well, maybe those are evil angels. Well, you know, I don't think so. I think God has those angels assigned for that purpose because they are His obedient angels. I do know that God uses wicked angels. They wouldn't do it willingly, but He uses them nevertheless to accomplish some things. But we're talking about angels that are in obedience to God, that are still in the standing of grace with God. So angels sometimes are agents of destruction and punishment on earth. Now, the next thing we want to look at is that angels have a task very often in the lives of human beings, and we're going to show you just two instances, but they warn believers of things. And I think today angels are still in the job of warning believers. I believe they do that in different kinds of ways. But in Genesis 19 and verse 15, we find that here is a case. All of you are familiar with the account of Lot down there in Sodom, and he's got himself in trouble, as I mentioned this morning. And I told you this morning that two angels came and visited him. And in Genesis 19:15, it's time for God to destroy Sodom. And we find here in this verse, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." Here they're warning him. This is a warning business of angels. And so God's angels do that sometimes. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13, we find here that when the wise men had departed, and we use this on to make another point this morning, but when the wise men departed after they'd come to visit the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13, when those wise men were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for," here's the warning, "Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Now, God had a lot of different ways of protecting people, and we're going to show you some of that as we move along in what angels' business is. But here, there are cases where God just warns His people and lets them do what they can do to take heed to the warning. This is one of the businesses of angels among men. Now, associated with that, or kind of kin to that, angels of God sometimes go ahead of believers, out before them, if you were, in a matter of time, in order to get things in order, in preparation for changes that are going to occur in believers' lives. Joseph goes down to Egypt with baby Jesus and Jesus' mother, and I believe that God prepared the things that were going to be there in Egypt to take care of the young Christ child and his parents when they went to Egypt. And He does that in many different instances through angels' actions through the Bible. In Genesis 24 and verse 7, we find that Abraham is wanting his servant to get a wife for Isaac. And he sends him looking for that wife, which is going to be Rebekah. And as he sends him looking for that wife, he says this to that servant, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he," says Abraham, "shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Now, we don't know what all that means exactly, but I can tell you in regard to this particular experience of Abraham's servant, that God had gone ahead of this servant and prepared for a meeting place between him and Isaac's wife to be. And I don't doubt that God had gone ahead of him and done some things in the life of Rebekah and her family that predisposed them to what was going to happen when that servant got there. I believe that's what the Lord means when he says, the Lord will go send his angels before you. Now we find in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob is met by a host of God's angels. And I believe this meeting that he has there in that verse is a revelation to Jacob that the angels of God have gone ahead of him and have actually met with him at the place that he's going to or that he's at in his travels as he's on his way. Jacob's met by a host, a company of angels. And in Genesis 32, 1 and 2, the Bible says Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. Now here I believe is a case where angels went before Jacob and they were in the process of preparing for what Jacob was going to experience in his trip. We find in the 23rd chapter of Exodus in verse 20 that God makes a promise to the children of Israel as they set out to go into the wilderness to find their way to the promised land. And God says this to them, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." What does that mean? I believe it means that God had angels to go out ahead time-wise and distance-wise, location-wise, ahead of these Israelites and affect things on earth so that everything would be exactly as he wanted it to be when the Israelites got there. Doesn't that tell you something about God's preparation for his people, how that he makes allowances for and preparations for where we're going when we don't even know where we're going? And he makes preparations for things that we'll need when we get there when we don't even know what we'll need. That's the way God works, and I believe that's the way he uses angels. In Genesis chapter 30, or Exodus chapter 33 and verse 2, we find that the Bible says, again, when they're getting ready to go into the promised land, they've made that trip through the wilderness, and God says again, "Now I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite." So God has gone before the children of Israel in the wilderness, and he's planning, and lets them know that he's planning, to go ahead of them into the land of Canaan and prepare them to be received there and enable them to drive out those pagan nations that are there. I wish they'd listened to God and done what he told them. If they had, we might not have near as much trouble today as we do over in the Middle East, but they didn't listen. And you know, interesting thing about that is God told the Israelites when they set out to go into the promised land, told them by the mouth of, I think, both Moses and Joshua, that they weren't going to do it. He already knew the hearts of the children of Israel, didn't he? He said, I'm telling you now to drive those pagans out and kill them off as you go, and I know you're not going to do it. You're not going to listen to me. I can see, you've got that look in your eye. It's almost as if God said, and true enough, they didn't, and God said to them, "Now when you don't, they're going to be a thorn in your flesh from now on." Is there any truth to that today, brothers and sisters? I believe there is. I believe we see them reaping what they sowed. Kind of gives us a little bit of instructions and warning and reproof, doesn't it? God tells us to do something, we just need to do it. Sometimes it just comes down to a matter of obedience. It hadn't got anything to do with what we prefer. Oh, Lord, I don't really want to do that. I want to do this. No, when God says do it, let's just do it. And that way we wouldn't have the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all the other sites they have to contend with somewhere up the road when God says, you remember when I told you to do this and you didn't? Okay, you're going to have to spend a little time in trouble because of it. But they didn't, and as a result, they suffer today. But God said, I'm going to send my angel before you. And that tells me that in every instance that God intended for them to do what He told them to do, He had prepared the situation there for them to be able to accomplish it. God does that for us, doesn't He? We sometimes say, that's too much to take on. I don't think I can handle it. Too big of a demand, too big of a challenge. I just don't think I can do it. Listen, if the angel of God prepares the way for us, brothers and sisters, we can do it. This thing of not realizing we can do it or not admitting we can do it, not taking by faith what God has told us, will get us in trouble just like it did the children of Israel. I will send an angel before thee, and I, he said, will drive out the Canaanite and so on, the Amorite and so on. And it turns out, if you follow the history of the Jews as they went into Canaan, guess what God was going to use to drive them out of the land? The Jews. He was going to use the Israelites to drive them out of the land. He said, I'll drive them out. In other words, what I'm telling you, my children, is you going in there and you bump up against these pagan tribes, and I'm going to use you to drive them out. But if you're not useful, if you don't lend yourself to being used, they won't be driven out. I'm not going to do it by some other force of arms. I have here with my people the very means by which I can drive them out. They didn't. They resisted God in doing that. They settled down and didn't complete the task and suffered for it. Now let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 12. And this is the way it goes in the New Testament when you start looking for God sending His angel before His people. You have to carefully read and see that it happens. Here's one of the classical instances of it happening in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 12, remember that Peter's in prison here in this chapter. And in verse 8, we find that Peter has gotten there. He's asleep. He's laid up in the back of the prison. And what happens in verse 8? The angel, well, let's read verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hand. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto them, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now listen to this. When they were past the first and the second ward, how'd they do that? He was following the angel, wasn't he? And whatever needed to be done to get him past the first and second cell block there, through the first and second security devices, the angel took care of it. He just walked through. Peter did. Because the angel went before him and prepared the way. And so when he was past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. How do you reckon that happened? Well, the angel was going before him. Remember, he's following the angel. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So angels of God go ahead of believers to get things in order as they prepare for changes in the believers' lives. Peter was about to become a free man. How was he going to be able to do that? Well, an angel was going to open things up for him. But the only way that could happen is if he followed the angel, if the angel went before him, he got him safely through all the security of the jail and safely through the barred gate right out into the street. That's the way it happened. And so The angel went before him. God does that, I believe, today. And I think He does that for us sometimes and we don't realize it. He opens doors. He smooths the way and things like that. He sends an angel before us to make ready situations that are made easy because an angel goes before us as we go about the business of the Lord and the business that's righteous in our lives. Now, we find that not only is this true, but angels of God, and this is a big one, angels of God accompany and protect believers in their changes. And we're down on time, brothers and sisters. This is a fairly lengthy place here in this message, and I don't want to try to rush looking at the many different ways that angels of God accompany and protect believers in their changes. So, Lord willing, we'll look at that in our next go-round and see how that, and maybe several of you or many of you can think of several ways that angels actually do protect believers, and maybe you can think of a few biblical examples. There are several. We'll look at those, Lord willing, next time. All right. May the Lord bless you as we study the business of angels on earth. Angels, as I said at the start this morning, are invisible for the most part to us today. There are some angels unawares that we entertain sometimes. And you might think, well, he's just some guy. Well, yeah, he was just some guy, but what steered that some guy to you? That, you know, that's one way of entertaining angels unawares, is that God puts you in the way of someone that you have an opportunity to do good for and leave a testimony with, and they wouldn't have gotten to that place and had that contact with you, had an interaction with you, except that an angel went ahead of the situation and set it up so that it happened that way. That's entertaining or having an interaction with angels unawares. And there may be, and I have to believe that there are situations where angels still come to people in the form of human beings. And they're there as human beings. You don't know it, and you have interactions with them, and they go on their way. And maybe you find it out, and maybe you don't. All the ways we showed you this morning, when they appeared as humans, the people that they'd happened to, they recognized that it was an angel. Now, notice that this angel was not a strange creature or shape to Peter. And yet, when Peter got out there on the street and was standing around, looking around, he didn't realize, he thought he'd had a dream, remember? The Bible tells us he wasn't even sure that this really happened, that it wasn't just some kind of a vision or dream or something that happened to him. And so, that's the way it could happen to us. Things happen and we're at the end of that experience and what happened? I don't even understand. And that may have been actually an angel intervening in our lives. May the Lord bless you to understand the business of angels on earth.